But right now, I want to talk about, look, cast your mind back. Do you remember when you first heard that Apple computers were going to start making phones? I remember it well, because it led to one of the worst predictions I've ever made in my entire life. I think, if I recall correctly, I might have said something to the effect that who in the hell wants or needs a computer and a phone in one? Yeah. And I told everyone that. You know, I thought it was a silly overreach by a company that should stick to what it knows. And look, you can obviously see then why I won't ever make it as a futurist or a corporate strategist. But it appears they're doing it again. This time, Apple is rumoured to be getting into the car market. And what's interesting about this, I guess, we know as well as anyone, it seems to be at a time when auto manufacturing, in so many ways, and certainly in the sense of diversity, is contracting. Joshua Dowling is the motoring editor for News Limited. Josh, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Apple cars, what is this, the iCar? Is this going to happen?
Look, I'm with you on these bold predictions. I'm not very good at them either, but I think you're going to be safe in saying that this one probably won't make it. I know it was one of Steve Jobs' dying things on his to-do list to get into the car market in some form. And in fact, it's happening in another way. So I know the report overnight talked about getting into the electric car market or doing something with the US electric car maker Tesla. But in fact, what Apple is doing and is getting very good at is doing in-car integration with phones. And so Mercedes-Benz and other prestige brands have integrated the Apple Siri system, the voice recognition system, and also getting a lot of the functionality from your phone, actually away from your phone, and into the car's control.
So do you think that as technology changed, the aim of the company might have changed with it, insofar as this, the way in which we integrate all technology now and everything speaks, be it your fridge or your phone, that there isn't necessarily the need to make an Apple car? You can put Apple products in an existing car.
That's exactly where I think we'll end up. And in fact, every car maker is trying to improve their connectivity. They realise there's a whole generation of buyers out there now who've grown up with smartphones. It's how they operate. It's how they communicate. Of course, the big challenge now is to balance with how much information you inform the driver of while they're driving and how much you take away. The good news is once the car and the phone are properly tethered, then there's every chance that you can actually limit and restrict what information you give to the driver. For example, Ford has a system that won't deliver text messages or even beep the phone if the car is moving. So there's lots of things that they can do. And, you know, talk to police in every state and territory in Australia, and they can't get drivers away from their phones, no matter how much the fines are. I mean, in Victoria, it's $400. New South Wales, it's $300. And a substantial number of demerit points. So the fines are in place, but they still keep booking people.
Josh, we talk about, we've got a rather jaundiced view, I think, of the car manufacturing industry in this country. We might even refer to it as having a plight. I'm not quite sure if that's the case across the world, or it's a developed world and Australian disease that's currently being dealt with. But this makes me wonder, are we seeing non-traditional manufacturers now looking to invest in auto manufacturing? Apple maybe dipping a toe in the water. Is anyone else doing it, or is it very much the purview of the established manufacturers?
Look, it really is the established brands. The one brand that's broken from that trend is Tesla, which Apple executives were spotted in discussions with, and the news agency that reported that meeting, I think, maybe went a step too far in thinking it could have led to an iCar. I think what they've done is have a conversation about integrating some of Apple's technology into the in-car systems. There's another example of a US startup that got a lot of funding post the GFC under a similar green car innovation fund. That's a company called Fisker, and they've recently tanked. So it really is the domain of the big brands. There is massive overcapacity in North America and Europe. The world is building too many cars. There are not enough customers. And that's one of the reasons Australia has been backed into a corner, not least of which is because we're surrounded by countries that can make cars between a quarter and one-fifth of the labour cost that we can. We then can't export cars to our neighbours because they're already making them more cheaply. We then can't export to Europe and North America because they've got too many factories building too many cars for not enough people.
Yeah.
So It's a roundabout way of answering the question, but sadly, Australia's predicament has been inevitable for some time.
I appreciate in the sense of competition and driving price competitivity and prices is always good for consumers. But just with regard to where the industry is at in a global sense at the moment, would an influx of non-traditional manufacturers from different fields be good for it, do you think, or would it be a disturbance to something that's fairly precariously placed already?
I don't think anyone would be brave enough to try and upset it. I mean, even the Chinese powerhouse, as big and powerful and as resourceful as China is, even they can't destabilise the world's biggest car makers. And part of the reason is if you wanted to go and invest money and start up a company, you probably wouldn't go and build cars. They work on a return on investment of around 1% to 3% profit. And consider for a moment what sort of profit banks make and mines make. If you want to make money, you'd go and do anything other than make cars. And in fact, a lot of car companies are really just keeping their head above water. I'm not just talking about Holden, Ford and Toyota in Australia. I'm talking about even globally. And quite often, these big car companies are using, they're effectively cash machines. They get the money in for the cars. They then put the money on the short-term money market and try and make the money out of the interest from handling large sums of money. But the actual profit from the cars is relatively minuscule.
Josh Dowling, so the final verdict is don't expect an Apple car anytime soon.
Look, I hope I'm wrong because I think they make great products and it would be amazing, but really it's just too hard and you would need billions to do it because the safety and testing and development would just be astronomical.
Josh Dowling, thanks for your time.
Pleasure.
Joshua Dowling is the motoring editor for News Limited. We're talking about what was the rumour that going about the place that the company Apple traditionally made computers now does everything from music to phones to perhaps cars. Maybe it'll happen, maybe not. We're going to continue this discussion after the break. Speak with our IT expert, Stilgherrian, about the trends that are coming up in technology and whether we're going to see more diversification from these major tech giants. We're hearing not just Apple with cars, but indeed medicine too. Google are doing all sorts of things in what you consider a non-traditional field. We'll speak to him about that and what's coming up this year in terms of the big tech trends.
Talking Adelaide with Will Goodings on 1395 5AA.
Get 8 minutes after two. Remember, every call and contribution to the program today goes in the running to win Celtic Thunder tickets. So keep those calls coming in on 8223 0000. Right now we're talking about, well, we were talking about before the break, the potential of the Apple car. The Apple, of course, the global giant, the computer-making company. There was some suggestion they might venture into the world of auto manufacturing, which is, well, one would suggest particularly bold at this point in time. We spoke with Josh Dowling, the editor of Motoring for News Limited, about the prospect of that. He says it's unlikely, but ultimately he, like I, have a pretty shoddy track record when it comes to big tech companies getting involved in places that they haven't traditionally. On that point, I thought it'd be worth talking with our IT expert, Stilgherrian, about, well, first his thoughts on the Apple car, but also this idea that we could have Apple healthcare technology and things to prevent heart attacks. Stilgherrian, good afternoon to you.
G'day, Will.
What do you make of Apple's, suggested diversification? Is it folly or a bit of truth to it?
Look, at first blush, I thought, I'm with you and Joshua Dowling and go, yeah, nah.
Yeah.
And then I thought, oh, yeah, I'm also with you blokes over how fantastic our predictions of the future have actually been. And I thought, okay, I better stop and look at this a bit further.
Mm.
And I realised that smart everything, and there's a thing we'll come to in a minute called the Internet of Everything, but smart everything is really what is happening around the place. The smart car is actually a thing. And I'm not just talking about, you take your iPod and you sit it in the car and you can listen to your music. I'm talking about you've been looking at which restaurants you want to go to tonight on your laptop at work, and you've discussed it on the phone with a few friends, and on your social network you've agreed that everyone from the volleyball team that week is going to meet on Friday night at a certain restaurant. What happens if you just walk out to your car, drop your smartphone into the dock in the car, and immediately it comes up, here's your driving directions to get to that restaurant?
Yes.
What if it's... when we're talking the Internet of Things, that's when everything, because it's becoming so cheap and because we have mobile broadband everywhere, well, at least in the cities, that everything talks to everything. So your smartphone is sitting in your car, your phone knows that you've got a work meeting that's suddenly come in for 6 p.m., and so it talks to your air conditioning at home and say, hang on, don't turn the aircon on yet. Save a bit of electricity, even though it's a hot day.
Really?
And wait until the meeting's finished. And we know the meeting's finished because you've got in your car and you've started driving home and the aircon says, right, now we'll wait until 15 minutes before Will Goodings gets home and then we'll turn on the air conditioner.
What? Well, I don't know whether to be frightened or impressed. That's incredible integration.
Yeah, I think you should be both, Will. I think you should be both impressed and then go, oh, hang on.
Yeah.
You know, because all of this data will be flowing out over the internet to all of these services. And, you know, just like everything else that's happened in the history of technology, we race ahead with the cool tools and toys.
Yeah.
And go, yeah, we want to do that. And then the Ukrainian hacker goes, yeah, please do that, sir. Please do that. We shall be logging your transport on your car. And even the smart car itself, this is now a mandated thing in the United States. The Department of Transport in America has recently said that every new car sold after a certain date will have to have certain kinds of computer technology in it, and the cars must be able to talk to each other.
Really?
Location, the full bit. Now, part of that, I'm sure, is part of that whole surveillance thing, so we know where your car is. And of course, that's never about spying for anything except catching terrorists.
Of course not.
Of course not. Never is. Never has been. And I'm sorry that we ever suggested that.
No, that's right.
But the other part is, it will save lives. Like if cars are talking to each other as they're going down the road, if someone puts on the brakes in front of you suddenly, your computer in your car will react faster than you ever could, even if you haven't had a shandy.
Look, that's just absolutely remarkable. And this, by law, is what's happening in the US. Are there any movements here to make that happen?
Look, I don't know. You know, Australian politicians are not quite as tech-savvy as in the US. I don't want to actually say they're backward because I have to have coffee with them occasionally, you know, and they'll hit me. But they are.
Yeah.
You know, as we all know, you know, Australia lags a bit on this stuff.
Yeah.
We're great at digging rocks out of the ground, but, you know, not so good at the high-tech stuff. You know, we come up with great inventions, but then we have to sell them overseas for anyone to go, hey, yeah, that's great. We'll put the money into it.
Stilgherrin, I know you've just returned from this tech leaders forum that's taken place. Are these the sorts of things that were being discussed by those people that do this for a living, that think about these, which way technology is all going?
Absolutely. And one of the most eye-opening for me was a guy from Gartner Research, that's one of the big technology consultancy firms. And people pay out these consultancy firms. They go, oh, yeah, you give them millions of dollars and they just feed you BS.
Yeah.
But really, you know, they've got, you know, honestly, they've got a lot of smart people who sit down and think about this stuff and they draw the threads together. And as I said, mobile broadband everywhere, the technology to put your broadband connectivity into interesting devices is getting cheaper and cheaper all the time. They look at the kind of proof of concept things that happen at the big trade shows and then start, well, they do more than pull out the back of an envelope. They start rolling the numbers very seriously. And they reckon, Gartner reckons, that by the year 2020, which is only six years away, there will be 50 billion devices connected to the internet.
50
compared
billion.
Compared to about 5 billion people.
So we'll all own 10 things that connect to the internet?
Well, I've got 4 on me right now. I've got a laptop, I've got a phone, I've got a mobile broadband connection, and well, I've got a spare phone because I work in the technology area and so on. But it's not uncommon. We already have, here's some of the things that we already have. We already have the smart cars. They're out there and they're a luxury item at the moment, but they will become cheap, just as the smartphone, the phone with a computer in it, was a luxury item. Now you go out and try buying a phone that doesn't have a computer like that in it.
You can't.
You know, good luck, mate.
Yeah, you can't.
You know, you can't. So we already have smart rice cookers so that if you're going to be late coming from work, you can actually message your rice cooker to say, no, don't put the rice on quite yet.
I'm still getting it. I think I've got one of these smart TVs, and I don't know what it does, but I know it thinks it doesn't have a very smart operator, because I sit there and I wave, you know, it thinks I'm waving at it or I'm speaking to it. I can't get my head around that, let alone a smart rice cooker. So are these things widespread?
Look, it's all happening. The smart TVs, you know, they notice that you've got a particular interest in crime drama. You know, they can actually look at what programs you're watching, crime drama. And then they say, hang on, oh, you're watching crime drama. You may not know about this. You may not have seen the ads, but over on channel whatever that you normally don't watch, they have a new series starting. Did you know about that? Well, the scary thing is, though, when you see I've actually seen on stage a young South Korean hacker, and of course, as we know, many of our smart TVs come from Korea.
Yeah.
He essentially showed that how he could hack into the smart TV, and they've got cameras and microphones in them, and so you can talk to Auntie Joyce, who's moved back to the UK at Christmas time, and, you know, the family's there at the table, and she's there at her table, and the camera and microphone's there, and you can talk back and forth. He showed how he could make it look like the TV has actually turned off, all the lights are off, and yet camera and microphone are still on.
That's scary.
If you travel at the moment, every hotel room used to have a certain Japanese brand's TVs in it. Mm. Now they're all a certain Korean brand smart TVs being rolled out. And nothing private and personal ever happens in a hotel room or compromisable.
Oh, I can't imagine anything like that taking place. I'm actually terrified at the thought that sometime very shortly people are going to hack into rice cookers and mean we all get burnt rice.
That sounds silly, but recently an internet-connected refrigerator, and I only go, why is your refrigerator on the internet? The answer is, as you put things into the fridge, you scan their barcodes, and as you pull them out of the fridge or the freezer to cook them, you scan the barcodes again.
Yes.
And it automatically populates your shopping list to say, oh, you've used the last frozen peas, I better order another packet. But the glorious thing, both the TV and both the fridge, if they're connected to the internet, neither of those things ever get turned off. They're always plugged in. They're always left alone. And recently, some internet-connected refrigerators were accused of sending spam.
No.
It's nowhere safe. Now, admittedly, that one, some of the InfoSec people are saying, yeah, look, you know, give me your email address and I'll in a little while, we'll make sure you start getting spam from a potato, which is just rubbish. The message they're saying, you can fake this stuff. But the other thing is, hey, you know, remember why, you know, I think it's worth remembering, the telephone in my hand right now, in your pocket right now, is vastly more powerful than the most powerful supercomputer of 1976.
It's phenomenal. You know, and I think back to that sort of period in the 90s when every Hollywood movie was made about smart computers and artificial intelligence, you know, creating machines with guns taking over. It's been more subtle than that. It's rice cookers and fridges. They're taking over.
It's funny. We talk about, I've made up a few words for this. There is this idea that there'll be a cyber Pearl Harbor, a cyber-geddon. I go, no, it's refrigergeddon.
Refrigerator. I think on that note, still Gary. Thanks for your time. Thanks for joining us.
No worries, Will. I'll go away and take a tablet now.
Yeah, that's all right. Go and lock up your fridge. Thank you. Still Gary is our IT commentator. Got him on, of course, to, in the first instance, talk about the potential for there to be Apple cars, and somehow we ended up talking about being attacked by fridges. But that is the wonderful world of technology as brought to us by Still Gary. 8223-0000 is my number. After the break, we'll speak with a very funny woman, Cal Wilson, who's in town for the Adelaide Fringe, and we'll also have a chat about what is today the 72nd anniversary of the bombing of Darwin.